who has done the work of an apostle for many years. He was saved when he was just 15 years old and was baptized in the Holy Ghost when he was 18 and began ministering at that age. He graduated from Rhema Bible College. He's a graduate of Western Michigan University. He planted a church up in Sturgis, Michigan at age 23, and then he began his missionary work at age 26. He's been on staff with churches in Toledo, Ohio, and Flint, Michigan. He's helped plant churches in Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids. And he has had a continuous itinerant ministry for the past decade. So through the years, he's taught at public schools. He taught short-term teaching English in Thailand. And he taught English as a second language through community colleges. And he currently travels for Harvest Fire International. And so we appreciate Brother Dave. I told him I cannot remember the last time when we had a piano player in the house and I was just free to minister, and I so appreciate that. You can hire a piano player, but there's a huge difference between an anointed piano player. And so he has blessed us to be here. And actually, we have him scheduled a couple weeks throughout the summer. And so we just are so thankful that God brought him into our life a few years ago through some CI ministers up in Michigan. And so I know he has a powerful message this morning. And I so appreciate he likes to be called Brother David. So at this time, our Brother David is coming to minister.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you.
Thank you too. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I guess that stays right there. Wow. I'll tell you what, I'd rather just worship the Lord all day long. Come on. I've heard myself preach thousands of times, and I'm usually pretty good. So... but I don't need to hear myself. I'd much rather hear the Holy Spirit. How many of you just engaged this morning and allowed the Lord to speak to you? And it's, you know, the word is important. The word is powerful. I mean, this is the more sure word of prophecy that we have, right? And so we always never want to neglect getting into the word and spending time in the word. But how many of you know that we sang the word? How many of you know that we also did the word?
Yes.
Come on, praying for each other. How many of you know that you are carriers of the word, carriers of his glory, carriers of his presence? Amen. And so it's a pleasure to be with you guys always. I just, it's becoming like a second home. It's like Uncle Dave is in the house. All right. So it's good to be with you folks. And of course, this is Pentecost Sunday. And so I'm going through my notes. And if you remember when I started last week, it's rare that I get to do more than a one-off service. I come in and just, you know, shoot the shotgun out of everything and hope you get something. But it's been such a pleasure to be able to come in for a couple weeks in a row and to build on something. Anybody remember that I told you there were three keys that Jesus left us? Three things he left us. He left us his word. He left us his spirit. And he left us his name. And so last week we talked about his name and the power in that name. And I got about maybe halfway through my notes. So maybe sometime in the future we'll get the second part of that. But we talked about the lame man at the gate beautiful and how that Peter and John walked up to him. And they had been filled with the Holy Spirit not that much earlier. And they come up to him and they say, silver and gold we don't have. In Acts chapter 3, they said, but what we have we give to you in the name of Jesus. They knew what they had. Come on. That's the difference between early Christians and a lot of Christians today. We have no clue what we really have on the inside of us. We really don't comprehend and understand that the Almighty God, the Eternal God, the God who the heavens can't contain, he can't, in the palm of his hand, I mean, they're so great. And yet he has come to choose to live in your life, to live inside of you. Come on. Jesus said that it's expedient, it's necessary for you that I leave and go to the Father. Why, Jesus? Because if I don't go, then I can't send you the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, who when he comes, he will baptize you with fire. Come on. He'll give you a zeal. He'll give you a burning for the Lord when the Holy Spirit comes. And Jesus said, it's expedient. It's to your benefit for me to go up so that I can then send my spirit down. And then instead of just me being limited here in one body, this is Jesus talking right now. Now I have all of you to be my body and you can be my hands, my lips. You can speak forth. You can do my works on this planet. Amen. So we're talking Pentecost Sunday a little bit here this morning, just rehearsing some things. So this morning I did want to talk about the Spirit. And What's there to say, man? We just had demonstration of the Holy Spirit moving and speaking and touching and amen. I'm blessed by that. So if you have your Bible there, I've given them a few scriptures, so we need to look at those since they took the time to find them. So John chapter 14, and let's go ahead and look down at verse 15. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the number one thing. If you love Jesus, you're going to do what? Keep his commandments. Remember, I'm an amen preacher. The more amens I get, the faster I go, the quicker you get out to eat. Amen. Come on, it helps me get going here, moving a little bit. Lets me know you're agreeing with me. Amen. And so we look right here and it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now we're talking, Jesus is giving these chapters right here. This is his discourse right before he's the Last Supper. And he's talking about things that are coming very quickly upon the earth. And he says right here in verse 16, I will ask the Father. What's another word for ask? I will pray. I will commune with the Father. I will talk to the Father. How many of you know if anybody's prayer is going to get answered on the planet, it's going to be Jesus? Amen. Come on, amen. How many of you are believing with me that John chapter 17 will be fulfilled, that they would all become one? We'd all become united. We'll never become united in our doctrine. We'll never become united in our function of services. But we can come united around the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Amen? God is looking not for unanimity, but uniformity, that we are one. We are united together as unified unit. Amen. We're going to see that over in Acts chapter 2 in a moment. But he says right here, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper. And if you've studied this out before, and I'm sure you are, this is a teaching house here. You know that word in the Greek is paraclete. That means one called alongside together with you, one who's coming to enable you, to equip you, to move through you, to teach you, to train you. John said over later on over in 1 John, he talks about you have an anointing and unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Really? Well, that's news to this brain. But come on, you know all things that are necessary. It says over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Do we know these things? I think we know them up here, but we don't really experience them in our lives. And Jesus says here, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Come on. I don't know if you, I personally don't believe in the dark night of the soul theology. I don't, you know, that God's left me because I've ticked him off or something like that, and he leaves me out here in this darkness, and I'm, you know, the temptation and just being tested and tried. You know, Jesus went to the wilderness for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on. He paid the price for us. He went out into the wilderness. He was tempted in every way that you and I could be tempted, yet without sin, remember? And the scripture says he was led of the Spirit. Holy Spirit led him out over in Luke chapter 4. Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He comes back having survived that temptation and putting the devil in his place, right? And it says he went led by the Spirit and he comes back in the power of the Spirit. And immediately begins to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. He begins to open up his mouth and he said, we've never heard anybody talk like this before. These words are so powerful, right? Because he is spending time with God. If there's anything we could ever learn, it's we need to look at the life of Jesus. Remember what I told you last week? Read the red and do what he said. Come on, read the red and do what he said. Look and see what he said and then do it. Amen. Amen. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to go to the Father. I'm asking him right now for another helper that he will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him. Because he abides with you and he will be in you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. There he goes. He harps on that again. If you really love me, you'll do what I say. Amen. Do what now? Keep my commandments? Amen. If you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I said. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So many things. This wasn't the passage I was going to key in on, but look, there's so many things here. He says, the world's not going to see me, but you will see me because I live. How do we see Jesus? I'm looking at Jesus right now. Come on, he lives on the inside of us. I'm seeing part of Jesus. You are part of his body, right? And we see Jesus, but also we get to know him. How are we going to know him? Look what it says here again in the scripture. It says, the Holy Spirit, the helper, when the world can't receive him, but you know him because he abides with you, alongside you, but he is going to come and live
in you.
Come on, everybody. In you. Not just with. We have the whole Old Testament is replete with stories about how God anointed prophets, priests, and kings. And he came down upon them. Remember the stories? And how they were changing. Even Saul prophesied amongst the prophets. And they said, is Saul a prophet now? Just because he hung around the people where the anointing was. So the anointing fell upon him. But how many of you know that didn't say that Saul's life was in good order in the Old Testament, right? Just because he prophesied didn't mean that he was living, you know, righteously. It was just the anointing that got on him. But you understand, the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would anoint, come upon somebody for an act of service, and then lift and go till the next time that he came down and he anointed. This is why I love some of the old hymns and old songs. Send down the fire, Lord. Send down the fire. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the letter. And I like the tunes. It's too bad the theology is Old Testament.
Right.
Do you know what I mean by that? So many Christians, New Testament Christians, New Covenant Christians, are crying out, especially in a lot of our songs, we're crying out, asking for things that we already have.
All right.
Come on, send down the rain, send down the fire, send down your spirit, Lord, send down the latter rain. He did. Almost 2,000 years ago. Come on. Even before that, when Jesus was being water baptized, the scripture says, the heavens opened up, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, and the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. If you need to see the Trinity in scripture, right there. Right? And then it says, and immediately after the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus and lighted upon him like a dove, then they heard a mighty zipper sound as the heavens shut back up. And they've been closed until we cry and weep and ask God to open heavens again. No, that's not in the Bible. Come on, the heavens were open over Jesus. Wherever he walked was an open heaven because he's carrying God by the Holy Spirit the same way you and I are carrying God on the inside by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, as we're going to see, it says the heavens opened up, fire and wind came down and baptized them all in the Holy Spirit. And it does not say, and then the Holy Spirit left them and went back up to heaven after the Bible was written. Or the Holy Spirit left them and went up to heaven after the first 100 years because the first 12 apostles, 13 actually, Matthias, had all died off, plus Paul, throw them in there for a baker's dozen, that they'd all died off and so therefore they didn't have any need for the Holy Spirit anymore and zip, heaven's shut back again. No! He's still here. I love what Reinhard Bonnke, some of you know who that great man of God is, probably won more people to the Lord than anybody on the planet, especially in the continent of Africa. And he says, you young people, I did it when I was young. You're all crying out, asking God for revival. You're all asking, you know what revive means? Make alive that which is seemingly dead. Why are we crying out for revival? We should never be seemingly dead. Come on, if you have a new life in Christ, then we should never allow ourselves to become seemingly dead. You may need a refreshing. Come on. You may need to be stirred up. You may need to connect with the Lord like you did this morning again. Come on, to get that zeal going again. But we should never need to be revived, be reanimated, made alive again. Because we're always alive. And Reinhard Bonnke says, you're crying out for revival. That's okay. I understand your heart. Your heart is saying, I want more of Jesus. Right? I want to be used of God. I want to see him demonstrate himself on this planet. But he says, there is no such thing as God sending a revival. You are the revival. The revival started 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, and it hasn't stopped.
Amen.
Now, we've had different outpourings. We've had different refreshings. We've had different reformations. We've had different awakenings. And we call those things revival many times. But how many understand my heart here? What I'm saying is, we should be so in love with Jesus, walking with Jesus, that we don't have to be revived.
Amen.
We should never look like we're dead and we need to be reanimated. Okay? So he says, the Holy Spirit, now this is the same Spirit. You know, in little children and elderly people, it's the same Holy Spirit. You don't get it like a Holy Spirit mini when you're under 10. Okay? It's the same Spirit of God. Preachers don't get a special Holy Spirit that the congregation doesn't get. Because every believer is called to ministry.
Amen.
Every believer has a ministry. You might have a marketplace ministry. You might have a ministry in school right now. You might have a ministry. Number one, divine calling of God after serving and loving Jesus is your ministry to your family.
Amen.
Amen. You know the five priorities in life? God first. Let me say it. God first.
God first.
Come on, everybody. God first.
God first.
Spouse second. If you have a spouse, thirdly would be your family, your children. Fourthly is your local family. Come on, the assembly. And fifthly is your job. Now, your job can also be your ministry. And where people mess it up and mix it up is they think my calling of God is my number one. No, your number one is your intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ for you. You and Him. Is this okay? You heard this before? We need to be reminded at different times that our first calling is to Jesus, to talk with God for ourselves, then our family, then the local family, then our job. Now, what happens if you're called to paid ministry or something like that? That's number six, until it moves over here to number five. It never becomes number one. But if you watch ministers where that's moved up to number one, their lives are in a mess. Anyway, that's not in there. That was free. That was free. All right, so he says the Spirit of Truth. He's the helper. He's the paraclete, the called alongside one. In fact, we have over in Romans chapter 8, when you don't know how to pray, for as you ought to, then do what? Pray in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will pray, take hold together with you with great groanings, utterances that can't be spoken in our known language, right? And He will pray through us. He will help us. Anybody ever woke up in the morning with a song? Just, you know, a song of God blasting through your mind. And maybe it's, you know, about healing, or maybe it's about His provision for you financially, or maybe it's about protection. Am I the only one? No, you guys have had that. You know what's happening? That is the Holy Spirit trying to show you things to come before you're fully awake and your brain takes over completely and blocks them out for the whole day. And there are times when I've listened to that voice, and guess what happens later on in the day? I'm attacked with sickness. I woke up in the morning, and I'm hearing a song about healing. Come on, He's trying to forewarn us about things to come. You ever been driving down the road, and all of a sudden, you normally take this route to get home, and all of a sudden you say, oh, no, I think I'll take this other route, and you turn. Something just on the inside. I turn there. You find out later on there was a major accident there. You find out something happened, and you would have been delayed for hours or whatever the deal was. Come on. We don't recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. He can use those circumstances and speak to us. Anyway, so He used to be with us. Now He is in us. And as long as you're there in John, look over at chapter 16. And we'll just read a couple verses there. Verse 7. Well, let's go back to 5. We need context. But now I'm going to Him who sent me. Jesus talking about going back to the Father. And none of you asked me where you're going, but because I've said these things to you, sorrows filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. Come on. Is there any doubt? It's Jesus talking. But I tell you the truth. It means I'm emphasizing to you right now when He says that. Verily, verily, truly, truly. He's trying to emphasize, wake up and really grab on to it. Everything I say is important, but this is really important. And He says, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. And if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they didn't believe in me, Jesus talking, and concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have so many more things to say to you, but you can't hear them, you can't bear them. It's a bearer here. Bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, verse 13, He will guide you. We're just talking about that. He will guide you into all truth. Come on. For He won't speak of what is His own initiative, but what He hears. He's talking about what He's hearing from the Father. He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So let's go back here for again. The Spirit of Truth, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit only guides us into truth. It's quite suspect when Christians come up to me and say, God told me this, God told me that, and I say, really? Because I could give you three verses that are contrary to what you just told me. Come on. He will never vacillate or direct anything different than what He's already revealed in this more sure word of prophecy. Well, how do I know whether it's God speaking? Is it lining up with the Scripture? Come on, when I pastored, I remember a guy coming to me and saying, I believe the Lord has told me that I need to divorce my wife, leave my children, and marry this lady over here because she's so much more spiritual than my wife is. Whoa! Warning, danger, danger, Will Robinson. Come on. Can you show me chapter and verse? Well, He wants me to be happy in life. And no, brother, you're deceived. You're deceived. That wasn't the Spirit of God. That was the spirit of your flesh. Is that okay? This is my last Sunday. I got to hit you hard. Last Sunday this month. The Spirit of truth. He only reveals truth. Come on. He's not going to... And it's to our advantage that Jesus left. And that's... I've never... You know, my flesh says, there's no way that's to my advantage, because I'd much rather Jesus was alive here right now, standing right next to me, so I could be buddies with him here. But you know what? Now he's buddies with everybody who calls on his name and invites him to come into their heart. And he can talk to everybody and he can use everybody. Okay, we doing good? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So it's expedient for me to go away, otherwise I can't send you the Holy Spirit whom the Father promised. And so we're looking over here in the book of Acts, and we know that Luke, the physician, the doctor, the historian, is the one who penned these things down. And we know from the testimony that he gives, he's gone and he's talked to all the disciples that were still alive. He's gone and he's talked to all the eyewitnesses. He's gone and documented everything. And so we look at what Luke's order is right here as we go through in Acts chapter 1. We don't have time to read through the whole thing, but let's drop down to verse 4. And Jesus was with them 40 days speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. Did you ever realize that? You know, I think many of us, when we grew up with the flannel graph boards in our Sunday school classes, some of you young people under 40 don't even have a clue what I'm talking about, but you should have said amen if you're under 40 and I called you young people. All right, anyway. We never really had the mentality and the understanding that, at least I didn't from the flannel graphs, that Jesus actually stayed here on earth for 40 days. I mean, we see all the movies, and it's like he's resurrected, he appears, and boop, the next scene, they're on the Mount of Olives, and he's going up to heaven. No, he ascended after Mary saw him, and then he comes back to earth, and he spends 40 days giving them an intensive Bible school, come on, training, elaborating everything that he had taught for 3.5 years. Now they're understanding it, right? He spends 40 days with them. Then he says, tarry, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. But before that, he's been with them for 40 days. So we think, wow, they had to wait 50 days from till the day of Pentecost to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, they only had to wait 10 days because they'd already had 40 days with Jesus. Okay, anyway. So in Acts here, it says, he's gathered them together, talking to them about the kingdom of God. Gathered them together, he commands them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Now, this is the same thing that he tells them in Luke 24:49. The other, Luke, the physician, recounts it there also. He says, stay in Jerusalem and look until you receive the power. And so he says, stay there and wait for what the Father's promised. Which, he said, you've heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And it was 10 days later, right? And so then we drop on down a little bit further. We drop down to verse 8. Well, we better stay on 7. Let's go to 7. He says to them, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs or the seasons of the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power. So just camp over here for a second. There's nobody on the planet. Your pastors can correct later. There's nobody on the planet that has the revelation of when Jesus is returning to the second coming. Nobody has the date. Some of us are old enough to remember 88 reasons he was coming in 1988. He didn't. And then the next year they republished that book and it was 89 reasons. And the 89th reason was he didn't come in 88. I'm being serious. But you got all kinds of voices out there, so-called prophets right now, who are prophesying the return of the Lord any day now. Come on. Yeah, it's any day when a day is as 1,000 years. Okay? Live your life like the rapture could happen tonight. In other words, walk holy and clean and pure. Come on. But make plans for the next 50 years. Graduate high school. Go to university. Marry and have a bunch of kids. Come on. Right? Live like you could go at any minute, but also make plans, right? Nobody knows the day and the hour. In fact, Jesus says, I don't even know the day and the hour. But I had a revelation in prayer, brother. I was praying and I wrote out this book and I appeared on Christian television and I'm selling these books that are, come on. There's far too much stuff that's being hawked on Christian television, which was personal revelation for that person at that time. Not for them to write a book and appear on television to sell it. Do you know that there's scriptures? Anybody ever had this happen to you before where you're in a situation, something's really a mess in your life, and you're flipping through, you're reading through your scriptures, and a scripture really ministers to you and hits you between the eyes for that situation? Anybody ever had that?
Amen.
Yeah, right. And then you go back and you reread the passage and you go, that had nothing to do with the context. Right? God could breathe upon that scripture for that moment, for your situation, to encourage you. Which doesn't mean that now it's a brand new doctrine that you need to teach to the whole planet. Okay, anyway. You guys aren't that way anyway. I know you have solid teaching here. And amen? You have solid teaching here, and you're not going to try and get on Sid Roth or one of those TV shows hawking your books that, about your, you know, pizza vision that you had last week. Okay, anyway. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get off on I'm going to get a soapbox. There are many voices, it says over in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12. There are many voices in the world, and none of them are without distinction. There's lots of voices in the spirit realm. Not all of them are God. We'll just stop there, okay? That's why you need to first and foremost take it to hear. I get scared, pastors, I get scared when I hear some guy on TV say, we've gone beyond the New Testament. Or we've gone beyond the Gospels. Or we don't need the book anymore. We have personal revelation with Jesus. No, not the Jesus of the Bible. That's another Jesus. Come as an, that's a demon that's coming as an angel of light. All right, anyway. It's the truth, and we got to watch out for that because we're in the last of the last of the laster days, right? And so all these things are happening. It's nothing new under the sun, but it seems to be compounding and just pouring on us daily. And you better know, this is your only word of truth. Turn off your news. Turn off your news and get into this. The news does nothing but de-edify you. Come on, it does not edify you. I need to be in the know. Why? I've yelled at myself this last year multiple times. I'd be watching the news. What are you doing? You're yelling at the TV about the stupidity of these things. You're writing letters to your congressman and it doesn't, and you get a form letter back. It's not changing anything. Is watching them parade the negative day in, all day long, all night long, is that encouraging you in Christ? I got to be aware of the days we're in. They're bad. There. Now you don't need to watch the news. But there are good things that are happening too in the kingdom of God. But you have to really weed through to find anything positive. Oh, okay, enough said on that. You go right back and you spend time in front of your television if you want to. How'd you like that one? That was an old school Pentecostal one. All right, did we ever get the Bible here? Yes, we're somewhere here. Anybody remember where? Jesus says, I don't know. No one knows but the Father, right? And then verse 8, he says, but you. Okay, forget about rapture mentality escapism. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting if you read through the Gospels? Matthew 28 tells us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But in Mark chapter 16, it says, and going, they preached the word and signs followed them. See, it's not enough to just be told to go. You have to go. You have to do something. All right, anyway. So he says, stop fixating on the end times. This is the way I'm interpreting this right here. Because only the Father has fixed those times in his own authority. But you, let's get back to you. You ever notice how Jesus does that? Woman of the well. And he's talking to her and she's like, well, our prophet said this. We should worship here, there, etc., etc. And he says, hey. And he gives us one of the greatest discourses in John chapter 4 about those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? And then he goes right back for the jugular. Go call your husband. Right? Well, no, you've had five. Pick one of them. No, he didn't say that. But do you see how she tried to get the light off from her life and get into religion? Right? When he's offering relationship. All right, anyway. Jesus is just so cool. You can't phase him. He answers the question. Yeah, well, your fathers did that because they were, you know. Anyway. But this is the truth. Worship the Father in the Spirit. Okay, so he says to us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And after he said these things, he was lifted up in the cloud. So not a lot of time to spend on this here. We're running out of time. But what he said here is you wait. Now, we don't have to tarry for the Holy Spirit anymore. Anybody realize that? I remember one of the saddest things that happened. I might have shared it here before. I was itinerant preaching in probably my early 20s, and I was at a denominational Pentecostal church, and we gave an altar call for people who wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We had about 20 people, took them in the back room, did the five examples out of Acts, and then Luke 11, where it says, if you ask for a fish, your Father's not going to give you a serpent, right? You understand that one? An egg, you're not going to get a scorpion, that type of stuff, or a rock, all those different things. And if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the Holy Spirit, right? One old man there, and I was 21, so he was, you know, he could have been 50, and I thought he was 80. But anyway, there was an old man there who said he had been tarrying, because he had been taught tarrying. He'd been tarrying for over 40 years to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because nobody ever explained to him, your Father wants you to receive this gift. And you simply pray in faith and receive. And he was trying to earn the gift by tarrying and being holy enough. I remember my sister, when I first was baptized in the Holy Spirit, my sister said, there's no way that that could be God, because I know you. Come on. Amen. Anybody experience that when you first got saved? You go, oh yeah, sure, you're a Christian. We'll see when this phase ends, right? Because we know you. No, you know the old me. You don't know the new me with Jesus on the inside of me. Come on, changed, rearranged, new life on the inside. But notice what it says here. Tarry in Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem, you will receive power. And we know that word there is not exousia, which means authority necessarily, but it's dunamis, dynamic miracle working power. It says you will receive that kind of power when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, now see, so many Pentecostals, and even some of us Bapticostals, we focused on the power aspect of it. You know, Bapticostal, I was raised Baptist, but now got around you kind of folks, Pentecostals, right? And so we kind of focused on the power. I got the power. Come on, I got the power. Looking for something to lay hands on because to display the power. And we totally skipped the rest of the verse, which says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Amen. What's the number one proof of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? You will be my witnessing witnesses. Yeah. In other words, changed lives. What's the number one proof that you're saved? Not what you say, but what you do or don't do. Come on, that's the proof. But here he says, you will receive power to be what? A witness in Jerusalem, that's our local place, all Judea, the county, Samaria, even the broader region, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So the number one reason we get baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be a witness, to live a witnessing life. Now the tongues and the gifts of the spirits and all spirit and all those things, those are just, you know, adding icing on the cake. Right? The number one purpose that Jesus said for us to tarry and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit was so that we would receive like power. Remember, Jesus did no mighty works until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Remember that? He didn't do any healings. We don't have any miracles recorded. We don't have any demons being cast out, being recorded until he's 30 years of age when he's out in the river and the Holy Spirit comes down upon him. And then after that, we have Acts chapter 10, 38, where it says, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Whose oppression from, church? The devil. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you a hard time. No, Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Your flesh a hard time at times, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. All right, can you handle me reading through Acts chapter 2 here real quick? Just a couple verses. Are we okay? I know we're over time here. So the number one reason we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is Pentecost Sunday, right? The church was established at Pentecost. The people, we're going to see, if you had time to read through all of Acts chapter 2, you would see Peter stand up and in those short verses, which is really a summary of his message, stand up there and preach and talk. And you know, it's an interesting thing, pastors. What does he preach? Christ. Christ. Crucified, dead, buried, and raised. And because Peter preached that, 3,000 got saved. They were cut to their heart. Come on, they were cut to the quick. Okay, Acts chapter 2, let's just do a couple of verses here and we'll close today. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come. Now, how many days is this after Jesus ascended? 10, right? How many days is it after Passover? 50. What is Pentecost? The feast of, is it Shabbat? I can't remember. It's the harvest feast. It's the harvest time. And I don't know, after this last year, I don't know if you're paying attention to the positive news. There is some out there. God is moving all over the planet. There are people that are jumping into the boat to get saved right now, all around the planet. Well, not in my neighborhood. Well, are we being a witness? Okay. But even right now in California and different places where they were shut down so greatly, they're having big crusades again. Come on. People are coming back to God. Thank you, Lord. Yes. All right, so it says they were all together in one place. And I like the King James. It says they were all together in one accord. Was that a Honda? No, anyway. Thank you for laughing at my lame old joke. Can't be older than the 70s because they didn't have Honda Accords till the 70s. But anyway. They were all together in one accord. They were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now, this is not the first time they've been in one accord. If you went back to Acts chapter 1, where we were just reading in there, it talks about how they were meeting together in this upper room place. That's where we get the 120 from, is back in Acts chapter 1. And they're meeting together, and they're praying daily, and they're spending time together. So this is just a continuance of this. If there's anything that I've seen afresh through looking through Acts and through the Bible here, is that God interacts with people as they're carrying on their daily life. He interrupts their lives. Saul's on his daily life to go persecute and put in prison disciples of Jesus, right? And what happens? God knocks him off his horse in the midst of his life. Peter and John are going up to the Gate Beautiful. They weren't going there to heal anybody that day. They were going into the temple to pray. It was time to pray. And the scripture says this situation presented itself, and they didn't shy back from it, and they knew what they had, and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Because they've been filled with the power that we're about to see right here. And so it says, it filled the whole house. There came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. How many of them? Come on, more time. How many? Each. All, right? And it rested on all of them, and they were half filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And then it goes through and talks about 12, 13 different groups here that were hearing these tongues in their own language, and it was speaking of the wonderful works of God, and so they were being witnessed to, testified to about the wonderful works of God. And then Peter stands on up, because in verse 12 it says, what does this all mean? And they're going, oh, they're just drunk at 9 a.m. in the morning. Peter stands up and says, let me tell you. So we have the event of Pentecost. Then we have the explanation. Then we have the ingathering harvest of Pentecost, if you went through Acts chapter 2 and you spent your time on that. Peter's sermon's a good one for preachers to study, because the pattern of what he preaches is the same pattern that Paul uses later on. It's all throughout the book of Acts. They preach Jesus. Come on, what did we preach? Jesus. Okay, so anyway, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire. Don't have time to develop all that this morning, but I just wanted to bring out a couple points here, first of all. Look here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The wind, the noise, the fire filled the whole house where everyone was sitting, and came upon everyone. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and by inference there, and all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, we're out of time, so let me just get this one thought into your mind. If you've ever prayed with anybody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is the number one hang-up. People will sit down and say, fill me, Lord. I pray and believe and receive, according to Luke chapter 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, carnal, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So, Lord, I have asked You for the Holy Spirit. And then we pray and we say, fill me with the Holy Spirit afresh. And we go, and then we grit our teeth, waiting to be possessed, I guess. Come on. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a different spirit. Come on, the church I was raised in, you know, we knew if we spoke in tongues, man, the usher was going to come grab you and drag you out. Come on. Okay, anyway, we'll tell that story. You've heard of receiving the right hand of fellowship from the Baptist in the church? I received the left foot of fellowship. Anyway. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's the hang up. We're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. How many of you speak in tongues? Okay, almost all of you. Been baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been speaking and haven't spoken tongues for a while? Some of you, you need to stir yourself up, right? Okay, and what happens is, when we're sharing with somebody and we're trying to lead them in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they read this verse, and I remember hearing somebody actually do this. And I said, go back and read verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them the utterance. And I said, who's speaking in tongues? And they told me, the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, go back and read verse 4 again. What does it say? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them the utterance. Who is speaking in tongues? The Holy Spirit. Oh, one more time. Come on. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they, to the context of the sentence, began to speak with other tongues or languages as or enabled by the Spirit who was giving them the utterance. Who does the speaking? We do. Thank you. We have to make a sound. We have to put voice to it. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. And they're not words that are going to come necessarily through our mind, although some people have seen it like a ticker tape or the bottom, you know, on the news feed or whatever. They've seen it, stuff like that, and then they just try to say those words. Most of us, it completely bypasses your brain and rises up out of your belly, shall flow rivers of living water. Amen? And you just begin to speak. So your brain, your intellect, your understanding, your known language that you have speaks through our voice. Or the Holy Spirit in our spirit gives us the utterance or words, and it comes out through our voice. Everybody understand? So in order to receive that guy was telling you about, that over 42 years, waiting and tarrying, he received instantly once he saw the scripture here that he had to make a sound. Anybody ever been camping, rustic camping? And you go on out and you see those old well pumps, and there's a cup sitting on the top of it. Anybody know what that cup's for? Can you picture it? You know what I'm talking about? The old crank pumps where you're going like this, right? And you need to get a bucket full of water. What's up on the top of that pump? A little glass full of water from the last person. Because you're going to pour that water into the pump to prime the pump, to cause the suction to begin, and then it pulls water. If you just go out there and try and drive, you know, on the handle to move it up and down, nothing's going to happen. You have to prime the pump. And how do you prime the pump? You open your mouth, use your tongue, begin to make a sound, and boom, the Holy Spirit takes over. Is that anybody else's experience? I was in my dorm room, never heard anybody spoke in tongues before I did, and was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, next door through the wall, those guys were shooting up drugs, listening to the Rolling Stones, and I was having an encounter with the stone, the rock of salvation. And I'm in my room, and I'm praying, and I was just sitting there saying, Lord, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. Fill me. You know, I'm seeing these scriptures here, and I'm going to make a sound. And I just went, la. Well, you know, you can go la and shut your mouth. La. And then it began to just flow then for 2.5 hours. See, I primed the pump by making a sound. That was where faith comes in. See, well, he's not going to fill me. I've tried. I've just sat here. It's just me making up words. Well, you know, you can't make up words for 2.5 hours. Come on. You understand? So sometimes we have to prime the pump. We just need to stir ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. And I don't have time to spend on all this. I'm sorry. I had like 8 pages of notes that I'd never even looked at. But that's not uncommon for me, as you're finding out. But today, we are so thankful for the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit that we were sensing earlier. How many of you know Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always to the end of the age. So whether we feel him or not, we know by faith and by the scriptures that he lives on the inside of us and he's with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's inside. How many of you know it's an act of faith also just to believe that God's Spirit dwells on the inside of you? Amen? So can we just take a moment here? Just, you know, close your eyes if you want. Lift your hands if you want. Whatever you want to do. And those of you who haven't been praying in the Spirit, this is Pentecost Sunday, you know, by the way. Let's prime that pump for a second. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us again. And we have copious scriptures I could have gone through explaining why we're doing it in 1 Corinthians 14. And it's okay for us all to do it since most of us speak in tongues in here, etc. All that type of stuff. Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, which is his Holy Spirit in tongues, languages. And I will pray with the understanding, which was his known language. So we pray in English here, and we also pray in the Spirit. We pray in Spanish. We pray in the Spirit. Come on, anybody understand? So we just take a moment here and just seal this, a word here, this convoluted word that tried to come out for you guys, but just to stir us up here this morning. Can we do that? Let me just pray. Lord, I just thank you that you have said to us that if we ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, he will give us the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that Jesus commanded us to wait to be endued with power from on high, but we don't have to wait any longer because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. And even as Peter preached and he said, this is for you, your children, your children's children, and for those who are far off who will call upon the name of Jesus Christ. So we didn't know the gifts of the Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit is still for us today. And so, Lord, I thank you that according to Luke, we can ask you for the Holy Spirit. You give us the Holy Spirit. And then the pattern that we see through the book of Acts in five different accounts is they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the words. And so, Lord, we just exercise our prayer language just for a moment. Come on right now, just pray. Lord, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit. Come on, out loud. You can do it out loud just for a moment here. Just want you to get sensitive to recognizing where that voice is coming from on the inside, that it's not from your mind, it's coming from your spirit. Come a little bit louder. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it's not from our mind. We thank you that we're not making up stuff, Lord, that it's just coming by your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that it's one of the perks that we have this private hotline to heaven, that we can pray in the Spirit, and then you will also give us interpretation and show us things to come in the future. But most of all, Lord, we thank you on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, that we are called to be witnesses. And furthermore, we have been empowered to be witnesses. And so, Lord, we thank you that we don't shy back, even though our flesh may be a shy personality, and we say, Holy Spirit, come on, just say after me, Holy Spirit, take control. Come on, Holy Spirit, take control of my life. And testify of Jesus wherever I'm at. And so, Lord, we thank that as we even go from this place, we thank you that we will be a testimony, a witness for Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a praise. On the front pews, we have our witnessing books. And you know what? I think we filled these boxes up a few weeks ago, and there's none taken out of them.
Amen.
But they are books. They are free. They are testimonies. And it's you can hand it to someone and say, I want to bless you with a book today. This is a free for you. And inside is information about the church. If you get a word, it's awesome. You have the word of the Lord. You can prophesy to them or ask them if they need prayer for something. But would you please take the books? You know, we bought them from Jim, Barbarossa, and Carla. And so we have lots of them. And so let's get busy being witnesses. So if
you're bold enough to go instigate a conversation with somebody, you can hand them a book.
Right.
Come on, you can just hand them a book and say, but please read it first before, so that if they, you can say, I have read this book, it's so good, and I think it would help you in your situation in life right now. Come on, and that will foster you talking to them later on and getting them saved. All right, anyway.
Amen, amen. So take a book, take two or three. Just keep them in your car. That's what I do. I keep a couple books in my car. You never know who you're going to pull up next to at the grocery store when you're parking in the parking lot, when you're running an errand, when you're going to 7-Eleven to get some Diet Pepsi or something. It's just right there, and you can just hand it to them, okay? All right, so let's get ready to receive our offering today. And we're so thankful for Brother Dave that he drives almost 2 hours to get here. Depending on the traffic. So we so appreciate, yes, so appreciate him. He is our Father's Day speaker, too, coming up next month, so just so you know that.